Millennium Films. 777 Films Corp. Millennium Films presents. In association with Artisan Entertainment, a 777 Films Corp production. A film by Ringo Lam. Jean-Claude Van Damme. Replicant. Michael Rooker, Catherine Dent, Ian Robison.
911, please identify yourself.
There was a man in my house. I have a baby.
Who's in the house, ma'am? Ma'am, stay with me.
Please.
The woman sitting on the living room floor, her head's bleeding.
Homicide in progress, mother and infant. Dispatch all vehicles in the area. Ma'am, stay with me.
No!
Who is it?
No!
A dark-clad figure hangs the phone up and shoves the woman to the floor with his boot. A youngster's playing in another room. The figure kicks the woman onto her back.
Why are you doing
that? You're a bad mother.
The dark-haired man kicks out his boot, snapping the woman's neck instantly. He snaps numerous pictures of her body with a digital camera.
Remind me.
In the next room, he picks up the frightened toddler with black-gloved hands. He carefully places the child into a nearby cot.
Baby, cradle and all. Let me finish your nightmare, kid.
He runs a gloved finger over the youngster's tiny hands before moving away. An unmarked squad car joins police already at the scene.
What's your status? Sweat here yet? Secure your perimeter.
The scruffy-haired assailant's pouring whiskey over the dead mother. He swigs some himself.
What are you waiting for?
SWAT team.
They'll be all night. Take the stairs.
In the apartment, the attacker lights a $20 bill and drops it onto his victim. As the flames grow, they're reflected in his yellow-tinted shades. In the lift, a plain-clothed policeman, Jake Riley, cocks his handgun and his colleagues follow suit. Above them, smoke drifts in through the ceiling grate.
We got smoke in here?
Angie's called it in, then looks at Jake.
It's him.
Smoke from the mother's burning body drifts into the room where the toddler was left. Directed by Ringo Lam. As the attacker leaves the apartment, Jake and his team rush out of the lift, guns at the ready.
Go!
The lights go out.
Don't shoot! Anybody else in there?
No.
Okay. Chris, move. Get him downstairs.
Move.
Go.
Get him out.
Go. Check. Check it.
Jake, we gotta wait for the fire trucks.
Absolutely.
Shit.
Jake boots open the door to the victim's home.
Get the windows open. Go on.
Come on, move it.
Angie and a colleague rush across the corridor and open several large windows. Down below, fire engines arrive on the scene. Meanwhile, Jake heads through the smoky apartment, his torch beam lancing through the darkness. He glimpses a door shutting, but edges towards firelight up ahead. The living room's now fully ablaze. Jake kicks through another door and spies the youngster crying in his cot. A burning section of roof falls through in front of him. In the corridor, Angie's concerned.
Jake!
Thinking fast, Jake puts the baby back in the cot, grabs a chair, and starts smashing through a glass brick window. Once he's smashed a large enough hole...
Come on!
Jake!
I'm okay!
Jake!
Get out of here! Okay.
He grabs the toddler and hurries out onto a cross support for some electrical equipment. Then he notices the attacker climbing down a ladder nearby. He goes to draw his gun, but reconsiders with the toddler in his arms. Now on a fire escape, the attacker studies the support, but Jake's hidden himself.
Hey, what in the hell are you doing?
The attacker shatters the window the man opened on his head.
It's okay.
The attacker drops into a dingy alley, notices police and rescue services at one end, and so turns and heads in the opposite direction. An approaching squad car makes him duck into the shadows. Jake to an officer.
Come on, take the baby. Get him to the hospital, make sure he's okay. Suspect's a white male heading north on Hauser on foot, wearing a black leather coat.
Jake takes out his piece and pursues the attacker on foot. He hurries out of a darkened back alley and scans the nighttime streets for some sign of the man. A crowded bus on the far side of the road piques his interest, and he sprints over to it.
Hold up there! Stop the bus! Stop the bus! Open up!
What's going on?
Sorry, folks. Just a routine check. Nothing to be alarmed about.
The attacker's slouching in a chair in the middle of the bus.
What's going on?
Sorry for the inconvenience.
He watches the driver leave the bus with Jake, who gets on his radio.
Everybody up! Against the window! Don't look at me!
Jake prepares to storm the bus, but the attacker kicks out a window and escapes. Jake races around the front of the bus, but traffic prevents him from getting off a shot. The chase continues across busy city streets, and the attacker shoots a driver who nearly hit him. Jake gets off a shot. The attacker falls through a shop window and notices blood on his leather-gloved hand before dashing away again. Jake's hot on his tail. His pursuit takes him into a stairwell. A bloody smear on the door to it confirms he's on the right track. He hurries down to an underground car park with his gun at the ready. In a car, the attacker removes a shard of bloody glass from his hand, then throws down his glove before watching Jake approaching. Jake checks the exit, and seeing that it's clear, takes cover behind a pillar. The attacker studies Jake with a look of cold menace.
Be afraid, Jake. Very afraid.
Jake breaks cover as nearby two trains trundle past in opposite directions on the other side of a wire mesh fence. Jake reels at the sound of a car and headlights speed towards him. Jake sprints to a gateway and leaps. The car hammers through the gate, sending Jake somersaulting over the top of it. The attacker screeches to a halt and watches in the rearview mirror as Jake flails about on the ground for his gun. But as Jake reaches out for it, the attacker slips the vehicle into reverse. Jake rolls aside and the car knocks his shoe off before speeding away. The attacker waves out of the window. Police squad cars race onto the scene. The area is now a crime scene and has been cordoned off with tape. Hal, a dark-haired, smartly dressed police captain in a grey trench coat, looks around as a black 4x4 arrives. A stern-faced man is sitting in the back. A paramedic finishes bandaging Jake's injuries.
Jeez.
Almost had him. I had him.
Yeah, well, that's not your problem anymore. As of an hour ago, you're officially retired.
I know. Hey, make sure when they find the car, they check for blood, okay?
Hey, Jake, shut up, okay? It's not your case anymore.
Well,
I popped him one. Checked for blood.
You just couldn't leave quietly, huh?
No, Hal. I wanted one last inspiring lecture from you.
10 years, here, buddy. You've heard them all. A lot of good it's done. But hey, before you go, the feds are here. They want to talk.
To me?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they do. Gentlemen?
Jake? Stan Reisman, how are you?
Fine. What do you want?
Understand you're leaving the force.
That's right.
We'd like to offer you a job.
No, thanks. Don't need one.
We can help you catch him. He will kill again.
Seattle at night. The saucer-shaped top of the Space Needle building lit in blue.
Last night, the Torch claimed his 11th victim. This elusive serial killer has remained at large for over 3 years, preying on mothers throughout the Seattle area. Detective Jake Riley, who has headed up the case, had this to say about the Torch.
How does it feel to be leaving with a Torch case unsolved?
No comment.
Hey, has he called you yet, Jake?
No comment.
Is this brilliant killer the reason you're quitting, Detective?
I'm retiring for personal reasons. The case has nothing to do with it.
Oh, come on, Jake, give us something.
Yeah,
I'll give you something. It turns out that our big bad boogeyman is nothing more than a bedwetting mama's boy. That's right, he pisses himself all the time. Pathetic, really. Just a sick pervert. Is that enough for you? Did you get that?
Did we get that?
Huh? Did you get that?
The Torch stopped sewing his wounded hand to watch. He turns the TV off and glances around his dingy apartment. Photographs of his victims fill the walls. He breaks a light in anger. Daytime. At his retirement do, Jake holds up a cartoon sign that reads, Jake's Boat Repair. Hal and other colleagues are enjoying themselves. Jake's on the dance floor with Angie. A smiling woman picks up the cordless phone and approaches Jake on the dance floor.
Jacob, darling. Telephone for you.
Thanks.
That was a nasty thing said about me on TV, Jake.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you're just a little too sensitive. Now, listen, I don't want you to call me anymore, all right? I'm retired.
You can quit, but you'll never get rid of me. I'm too smart.
Yeah, Mommy must be proud of her little psycho.
Stop it, Jake. Look at yourself.
3 years trying to catch me, but you failed. You're a bad cop.
Do you think quitting would stop me?
I'm going to keep on killing, asshole.
You're a real loser.
Hey, fuck you, you fucking prick! I'm gonna track you down like a fucking dog! You understand, you son of a bitch? Fuck you!
Fuck you too, Jake.
Jake hurls the phone onto a jetty. Now a helicopter.
It's always the same MO with slight variations. Single mother, mole, burns them post-mortem. You got partial prints, trace evidence, blood type even. But still, no Torch.
No shit. Tell me something I don't know.
Jake and Stan are aboard the chopper as it approaches a secluded hilltop facility hidden amongst evergreens. They remove their headsets as it lands on a grassy clearing, now inside the complex.
We fed enormous amounts of data on the Torch into our VICAP supercomputer. We've come up with a white male, 30s, very physical.
They proceed along a corridor past a guard and up to a security panel. Stan swipes a card into it. He keys in a code.
Step up to the mark.
Jake stands in front of the security panel. His image is scanned and appears on the panel's display screen. A green vector graphic maps the contours of his face before the words "Access granted" appear.
Welcome, Jacob Riley.
A heavy metal door slides open, revealing a high-tech lab. Stan leads the way in, past technicians in white lab coats, working at computer terminals. Jake stops when he sees a large reinforced chamber containing robotic arms either side of an embryonic pod. Inside the pod, a silhouetted adult figure is curled up.
The Martucci slayings a year ago, we found a hair follicle belonging to him. It was enough for a DNA imprint. Take a closer look.
At a terminal, a technician remote maneuvers one of the robotic arms, and an onboard camera relays the image of a man identical to the Torch.
Okay, so this is a clone of the killer.
A replicant. God created man in 6 days, we took longer.
And since when is the FBI?
We're not FBI. We're National Security Force.
In a meeting room.
We really don't care about your serial killer. Originally, this was developed for national security, counterterrorism. Today's intelligence has failed to weed out terrorists.
Okay, go on.
Our goal is to create replicants that can lead us to them.
I understand. He's not a terrorist, though.
No, but the behavior patterns are similar.
So, why me?
Because he picked you.
What do you mean he picked me?
When he's ready, you'll take custody. You'll care for him. Help him develop. Then you'll see if he can lead you to the killer.
Wouldn't it be easier just to plaster his face all over TV?
No. This project is classified. No pictures. No conventional techniques, Detective. All you have is replicant.
The Torch is pacing through a park. As the replicant stirs in his giant cocoon, the Torch seems to sense his presence. An alert warning flashes up on a computer screen.
What's going on?
Counter reaction. He's rejecting the latest growth hormone.
They peer through a window at the embryonic pod.
Talk to me. What can we do?
He said flatline.
Get him out. Now!
A handle is pulled, and steam is released from the machinery surrounding the replicant's cocoon. The pod is raised, leaving the naked replicant curled up on the floor. Covered in slime and mucus, the replicant slowly reaches forward with his hand.
Welcome to my world.
Sometime later, the replicant is clean and lying on a bed. He slowly opens his eyes.
Good morning, number one. Time to wake up. Today we're going to cover the basics. How to sit, stand, walk, and stop. Now I'm walking. I'm sitting. I'm standing. I'm Miss Johnson. How are you?
He falls.
Oh, did you hurt yourself?
Maybe your golden boy is retarded.
Physical readings are normal, but the brain's sine waves are low.
Well, we've enhanced his telepathic ability through genome resequencing. He may be our first. But genetic memory has been scientifically proven. He just needs human stimuli.
That's the toilet.
And that's where you come in. First human contact.
Later, he's pulled out a long length of toilet paper. A tray of food is pushed through a slot in the door. He edges towards it and peers through the window just above. He scoops up a handful of mashed potato with his fingers and eats. He tries to grab the tray, but Jake's gripping onto it. Eventually, the replicant snatches the tray. Now, footage of gymnasts is being displayed on the monitors. The replicant mimics the moves of a vaulter on the end of his bed, but he spins out of control and falls.
Good try. Watch the video and try again.
He performs a handstand and walks across the room using his arms. He slowly lowers his back and guides his feet to the floor.
Impressive, isn't he?
He's exceeding expectations.
You guys pretty happy with yourselves, aren't you? You have no idea what you're getting into there. I've seen what he's able to do firsthand to 11 women. And if this thing turns out to be anything like the original, we're gonna regret it.
Well, at the end of the day, replicant is disposable.
Jake takes some food into the replicant, who leaps up onto a table.
Take it easy.
He places the food down and backs away. The replicant pulls the tray towards him and cautiously sits on a chair.
I'm Jake.
Jake reaches for his back pocket and pulls out some handcuffs.
Here you go. You like that?
Yeah. How about this? How's that?
Jake cuffs one end to the replicant, the other to the table.
You like that?
With growing anxiety and nervousness, the replicant starts to comprehend that he's trapped.
Strong, huh?
Easy!
Ah!
Easy!
Take it easy!
Whoa! Oh, no!
Hey, hey, hey!
Ah! Easy!
Ah! Easy!
Hey!
Back up!
Jake shocked the replicant with a taser.
Now sit! Sit!
The replicant stands up.
I'm standing. I'm walking. I'm sitting. Standing. I'm walking. I'm sitting.
Stay!
The replicant's now chained and wearing casual clothes. Jake leads him along a corridor.
No! Walk. Move. Let's go.
They head outside. The replicant looks up in awe at a helicopter swooping overhead, but has to hide his eyes from the sun's glare.
Give me your glasses.
Those are $500 sunglasses, Detective.
Yeah? Hey, look. Good. Thank you.
Jake takes the $500 sunglasses for himself and gives his original ones to the replicant.
Manual on this guy or what?
You do whatever it takes to awaken the killer inside. Here are your temporary NSF papers and your gun.
Got it.
I want a report every 12 hours.
Okay, let's go. Walk! Walk! Come on!
Now they're airborne in the chopper. The replicant peers out of the window at the snow-capped mountains with a slight smile on his face.
Sit.
They fly towards the city. Now the replicant's asleep in the back of a car.
Sleeping killer. I'll sweep. Got company.
Two suited men are in a black SUV following Jake, who reaches a junction and has to stop for a red light. Suddenly, Jake floors it and screeches around the corner. The jolt awakes the replicant with a start. Jake pulls the car into a yard outside a derelict warehouse. He gets out and releases the replicant's handcuffs. He leads him into the damaged, run-down building. There's rubble on the ground, and the central section of the warehouse is collapsed.
Okay, freak of science. Let's talk a little shop here, shall we? What do you remember, huh? Hey, what do you remember? Come on, you a killer? Feel like killing? Killing somebody other than a woman? Show me how you did it. Show me how you did it. Come on, show me. Show me how you fucking did it. Remember that?
Take it.
The replicant takes Jake's gun and looks at it with curiosity.
Here. Want to kill me? Here's your chance. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Drop the gun! Drop the gun!
Ah, Three Stooges to the rescue!
Stay calm. Do not shoot the subject. Jake, tell him to back off.
Nah, just shoot him. Kill him.
God damn it, Jake!
Okay, boys. Take it easy. Maybe if you put your guns down, he'll do the same.
One of the suited men puts his gun down, and the replicant mimics his actions.
That's good.
You deliberately jeopardized a classified project. We're taking him back.
Good riddance. He's useless.
One of the suited men grabs the replicant, who spins round violently, sending the man crashing into a wall. The replicant dives under a table and flings it up into the face of one of the agents. He runs and spins up acrobatically onto a pipe. The agents try to pull him down.
Jake!
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 The two men yank him to the ground, and one puts him in a chokehold. The replicant bites down on the man's arm and kicks the other away before darting off. He runs up a wall, then leaps onto another pipe, spinning around like a gymnast on the high bar. After spinning around several times, he somersaults to the floor, landing with a flourish. Suddenly, he charges at one of the agents and tackles him to the ground. He yanks on the man's tie, strangling him. He grabs another man's arm and twists it behind his back.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
You broke my arm!
Shouldn't have shown him the move! Oh, no! 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 It hurts, don't it?
The strangled agent pulls out a gun.
Hey! No! $1 million project! No shooting, remember?
Put it away! That's it!
Put it away!
Stay!
No! No! Stay! Here. Sit!
The replicant crouches down, and Jake puts the handcuffs on him.
Good. I'll call you a cab!
Walk.
Walk.
The agent's left dangling from a hanging chain. Now, back in Jake's car, the replicant looks out of the window at some cyclists riding by.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to make an appointment to see the house on Berkeley. My name is Jake Riley.
Drop the gun!
Shut up!
Excuse me?
No, sorry. No, it's radio. Half hour. Great. Thank you.
Later, rain has started to fall as Jake pulls up outside a house which has a for sale sign in the yard.
You know this place? A year ago, you made it the most famous house in the country. Real messy.
Jake opens the back door and the replicant tries to get out.
Come on, get back! Calm the fuck down, you hear me? Calm the fuck down!
He unlocks the cuffs.
Okay, let's go! It's just rain, come on!
A woman's waiting outside the house.
How about this weather? Jake Riley? Wendy Wickham.
Wendy?
Wendy Wickham.
Calm the fuck down.
No. Sorry. My cousin Ronnie is a little special.
Let me show you in.
Be good. Come on.
This house was built in 1926. All the woodwork is original. A nice cozy fireplace here makes the entrance that much more special. Over here we have a spacious living room. This way. Here we go into the kitchen, which has recently been remodeled. All the marble, of course, imported from Florence. And over here we have the dining room. It's perfect for entertaining. What line of work did you say you were in?
I was in law enforcement.
That's right. You're that TV cop, the torch case. I feel so much better. You know the history of the house.
Yes, I do.
You know, it's such a shame because most people can never get past it, but it is a steal. Way below market value. Is he okay?
Could you give us a minute, please?
Absolutely.
Let's go. Walk.
Jake pushes the replicant up the stairs to the first floor. He leads him into the bathroom, where the replicant has a flashback of the torch smashing a young woman's face against the tiled wall. He knocks her into the bath, then clubs her over the head.
What do you remember?
In his cloned memory, the replicant visualizes the torch using some perfume to set fire to a rag.
What is it? What do you see?
In his mind, the replicant sees the woman's body burning and the torch walking calmly away. Back in the present, the replicant hurries down the stairs. In his mind's eye, he sees a body on the floor of the living room. He moves down into the basement, followed by Jake and Wendy. Images of the torch following the same route flash through his mind. The replicant goes out of the back door and runs round the side of the house to the front.
Has he been here before?
In another life. Let's go.
Johnny, stop it! You're a bad boy!
The mother's chastising of her son draws the attention of the torch. Meanwhile, Jake parks his car at the side of the road. As he approaches a house, a small boy runs out.
Jake!
How you doing, kiddo?
Good!
Come on! Come on! Yeah, jump up! Up you go! How you been, huh?
Good.
You been a good boy?
Yeah.
Up you go! Whoa! How's things going?
Good! Mommy's making your favorite.
Oh, I like that. Go get Mommy a hug for me. Go.
Jake goes back to the car and releases the replicant's handcuffs.
Be good.
Danny, go on upstairs, okay, and take Scout with you.
Okay. Scout, come.
Angie, Jake, and the replicant go inside. He leads the replicant through the house and into the basement.
Sit down.
He handcuffs him to a pipe, then goes back upstairs with Angie.
You want to tell me what the hell's going on?
Classified. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
It's not funny.
Sorry, I know. Listen, I need your help. I gotta get a rendering of this guy as soon as possible.
I'm not gonna do that for you. That's against department policy, remember?
That's why it's considered a favor.
The dog, Scout, goes to get some food from his bowl, which is next to the replicant. He stares at the animal, then steals a piece of its food. Danny walks in, and the replicant recoils in shock.
Ew, that's gross. Don't eat that. That's for doggies. Here, try this.
The boy offers him a piece of candy, which he cautiously takes and puts in his mouth.
Want some more?
He breaks off a bigger chunk, and the replicant eats it.
You're supposed to say thank you.
Danny's got a bloody mouth.
Oh my God, Danny, what happened?
Oh God!
Baby, what happened?
Jake pummels the replicant with a series of punches and kicks.
Come here! Get off! Look at me, you psycho bitch! What did you do to him?
Jake, stop! It wasn't him. Scout knocked his tooth out. It was the dog. It wasn't him.
The replicant looks up at Jake and trembles. Jake lets out a heavy sigh and looks over at Angie. Nighttime. Jake pulls into a car park. Stan and another officer get out of their car and walk over to Jake. The replicant's holding a tissue to his bloody nose.
What happened?
I kicked the shit out of him. Honest mistake.
It's been 18 hours, Jake. You've gone AWOL, let him attack my men, and now you're telling me you've mistreated my replicant? Perhaps I made an error in judgment.
Perhaps you did. Perhaps you should take your experiment and go. I don't need your shit.
After what the torch said to you, I thought you'd really want to nail him.
How the hell do you know what he said to me? Huh? You got my place wired, is that it? And how the hell do you know where we were today? You tracking us too?
You think we'd let you walk out with the future of our country's national security without knowing everything about you? I expect a report every 12 hours, Jake. No exceptions.
As Stan goes, Jake gives him the finger. The replicant copies his gesture.
Jake, is that you?
Yeah, it's me, Mom. It's me.
Patch goes up. Yes, that's it. Stay. Not in the car, too obvious, isn't it? Shh. You see, internal? Is it? Open. Internal tracking device. Well, they think they're smart. They think they're real smart. Don't they? Internal. Smart, isn't it?
It's okay. He pulls down the replicant's trousers and is checking his thighs when his mother comes in.
What are you doing? I'm working, Mom. It's okay. It's okay. It's not what you think.
He cuffs the replicant to a pipe.
Let's go, Mom.
Jacob, that man was beaten up.
Mom, you don't even know the guy, okay? Relax.
Wait a minute. Jacob, I'm talking about you. Jeez. What is the matter with you? What has happened?
What's wrong with you?
Why are you treating people like that?
Mom. Stop. Please.
Okay. But you remember one thing. If you treat people like criminals, that is exactly what they will become.
Your dinner's in the fridge. I'm going home.
Jake goes into the bathroom and finds the replicant cowering on the floor. He wraps a towel around him and puts a jacket behind his head to cushion it. He looks at him for a moment before turning to leave.
Thank you.
Jake flicks off the light and walks away. Sometime later, the replicant is fast asleep and dreaming.
Bad boy! You must be punished.
The torch has grabbed the mother he spotted earlier.
Your bad mother.
Hey, you all right?
Hey, leave her alone!
The torch quickly dispatches the two men trying to help, but the young mother has taken the opportunity to run away. She dashes into a restaurant kitchen. The torch strides through the kitchen, brutally knocking aside the chefs. He hurls one over a counter, then kicks another in the face.
Easy, man.
At the police station.
Thanks for the favor. I owe you one now.
Forget about it.
Right here. Stay. Okay, let's see what you remember, huh? How about this one? Yeah? You remember that one? Come on.
Okay.
Come on, talk to me.
The picture scan.
Make it snappy, all right?
Jake pushes the replicant down into a chair before going over to a computer terminal. He uses an image of the replicant to search the database for a matching face. As the search runs, the replicant looks over at two officers using a whiteboard to make notes. When they leave, he goes over and holds a pen against the board.
Hey! Sit down. Go on, sit.
The search is completed.
Edward Garrett, outstanding, immigrated from South Africa in 1995.
Angie gestures that Captain Hal is approaching.
Jake?
Hey, Cam, how's the market?
Well, oil prices are down. Now, what the hell are you doing back here?
Oh, just cleaning up some files. All done now.
You jerking me around?
Oh, no, no. Gotta go.
Jerking me?
Shh, shut up.
Hal goes over to the computer Jake was using and sees the completed photo fit search.
Son of a...
Jake parks his car at the side of a road. He climbs out and points at the replicant as he heads into the apartment building.
Stay.
The replicant stares up at the rows of windows on the outside of the building. Inside, Jake's making his way up the stairs. As he reaches a landing, a car containing Angie and two other officers pulls up behind Jake's. The replicant looks round at them as they head inside the building. Jake reaches the door of an apartment and tries a key.
Jake!
Shh.
Angie and Jake both reach for their guns and they run stealthily into the apartment. In the car, the replicant seems to be growing ever more anxious. Jake edges around a wall and into the kitchen. He enters the kitchen, keeping his gun out in front of him. Angie and Jake discover a shrine comprising statues, candles, and photographs pasted to the wall.
Jesus Christ.
Photos of young women and some of Jake. He picks off a photo of a young blonde woman.
victim.
Keep it.
Jake, we have an illegal entry.
On a desk in the next room is a computer with press any key to continue on the monitor. Jake presses a key. Outside in the car, the replicant looks up suddenly. Images of murdered women.
This is one sec, Bobby.
The replicant's becoming agitated.
Torch. You got him, that's him in the car.
No, I'll explain later.
As Jake continues to study the images, the replicant strains against his handcuffs, looking frantic. He tugs so hard that the metal bar he's cuffed to comes loose.
Jake, I gotta call this one in.
Jake stops her, then hits the space bar, producing grainy video footage of themselves from a small webcam on top of the monitor. The replicant manages to reach out through the barely open window and open the car door from outside. He quickly runs into the building. Jake has started printing the gruesome images. The replicant races manically up the stairs.
Hey! No! Back off!
Jake realizes the printer's booby-trapped. Everyone rushes out as the room explodes. The blast scatters debris all over the street and blows an officer down the stairs. People outside gather to watch the devastation as glass and building fragments rain down. The torch steps out from a doorway, looking up at the blown-out windows calmly. A few passers-by have been injured. The torch moves away.
Are you okay?
Where's Hino?
The replicant runs outside and sees the torch on the other side of the street. They stare at each other. The replicant's shocked that their faces are identical. The torch's stony expression's unreadable. The replicant begins to follow and gradually breaks into a jog. Jake and Angie emerge from the building. The torch hurries along a street and glances behind him discreetly. The replicant's following him at a walking pace some distance behind, but keeping him in his line of sight. The torch stops and looks around to see that the replicant has also stopped and is looking straight at him. The torch starts to run and the replicant runs after him. The torch runs down a side street. The replicant races in the same direction, but has lost sight of him. He jogs over to a pair of white doors, opens one, and slips inside. He swaggers further into a dimly lit bar, then pauses to look around. A door smashes open in his face.
Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you?
The torch slaps him, then knocks him to the floor. A man vacuum cleaning looks shocked as the torch hauls the replicant to his feet, punches him in the guts, then seizes him by the throat. But the replicant twists the torch's arm round painfully.
Hey, break it up!
The torch throws the replicant onto a pool table and hits him with a cue. The replicant jumps on his hands, avoiding the cue, spins his legs round in a breakdancing move, and jumps off the table. The torch makes use of the replicant's dazed landing and kicks him into a table that shatters. He then spots the barman using the phone.
Back off!
He wrestles a vacuum cleaner from the janitor and hauls that at the barman, thwarting his call. He marches up to the bar and shatters dozens of glasses over the cringing bartender before throwing the phone at him. It breaks apart.
No more phone calls.
The torch paces across towards the replicant, thrusting furniture out of his way as he goes. He hauls his cowering clone up.
Who are you? What do you want?
What do you want?
He knees the replicant. The barman reappears.
You asshole!
Brandishing a baseball bat, the torch shoves the replicant at him, then draws his gun. The barman drops his weapon and gets shot in the chest and neck. He slumps down beside the replicant, who suddenly finds the torch's gun pressed against his forehead. Uncertainty creeps into the torch's expression, and at the sound of police sirens, he gun-butts the replicant instead. Angie's escorting a colleague being wheeled on a stretcher. Jake races over.
I lost it! Watch where you're walking here, okay? How is he? Angie! How is he?
You've been lying to me.
Gunfire reported at Martini's Lounge, 9th and Renfrew. Caucasian male, black leather jacket. Any units in the area?
It's 2 blocks away.
They both set off on foot. As they round a corner, the janitor's waiting outside the bar.
There's two guys, and they were fighting, and then they shot my boss, and then they just took off!
Calm down!
Two guys here, they're identical twins.
Okay, stay here.
Angie joins Jake inside by the dead barman.
The janitor said that it was two identical twins fighting. Identical twins.
The torch jogs over to a parked taxi and climbs into the back.
Go straight.
He looks troubled as he sees the replicant running after the cab before stumbling to a halt. Jake's phone rings.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm proud of you. Your life. Who is he?
You're so smart, figure it out for yourself.
Oh, I will. It will be my biggest challenge yet.
The torch hangs up. The replicant doesn't see an oncoming car.
What's where you going?
He scampers back onto the pavement, and the car drives away. Wandering on, the replicant becomes fascinated by the food people are eating outside a cafe.
Hey, buddy. Come on, beat it. Get out of here. Yeah, you. Get out of here.
Jake makes a call to Stan at the NSF facility meeting room.
Hello, Jake. How's my replicant?
Fine. She had some pisses in the toilet and wants to get laid. Hadn't killed anybody yet, though.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And yeah, something's happening. I think he's remembering stuff.
Excellent. What can we do to accelerate the process?
Nothing. He's doing fine just on his own. But I've chosen a different approach.
Yeah, what's that?
What, you don't know? You don't know where we are right now? I mean, aren't you, still tracking us?
4901 LaSalle. That's the red light district, Jake.
That's right.
By nightfall, the replicant's wandering a street of curb crawlers, pimps, and hookers. A dark-haired woman totters after him.
Hey, baby, what's the hurry?
The woman stands in front of him in a low-cut top.
Like what you see?
He gazes at her exposed cleavage.
Hey, let's take a walk.
He stares after her.
Come on.
She leads him across the street.
Come on.
She shows him into a run-down apartment. Then closes the door behind him.
Make yourself comfortable.
She crosses the room and switches on a TV before removing her jacket and heading into a side room. The replicant gazes towards the room, but then gets distracted by what's on the TV. The hooker reappears with a toilet roll and a condom, which she then holds up. She sidles over to the replicant, unzipping her top as she goes. She then touches his cheek gently.
So, What's it gonna be? Have a seat. Let's just take this off. There we go.
As she's removing his jacket, she notices the handcuff on his wrist.
Okay. We can do that.
She pulls his jacket off and straddles his lap. She throws her top down, revealing her bra, and presses her breasts against his face. He nuzzles them intensely.
Okay, that's all the freebies, baby. Now I gotta see the green. Okay, look, I said $100, pay up.
Oh.
No, $100, pay up. Hey, I said $100, pay up. What are you doing? Hey! Let me... Get the fuck off of me!
She shoves him off as his body stiffens. She dashes for a phone and punches in a number while he perches back on the bed.
Yeah, I got me a deadbeat. What the hell is wrong with you?
There's a wet patch on his trousers by his crotch.
Is this your first time? Oh, shit. Look, I had no idea. Hey, let's say it never happened, okay? Go. Come on, go!
He edges towards her.
Stop it. Stop it, go!
We got a problem with payment?
A shaven-headed man.
I'm here to collect.
The pimp and his mate hurl the replicant across the room.
Look, just leave him alone, okay? He doesn't know what he's doing.
Shut up! You like this guy or what? Huh? You know the fucking rules, don't you? Don't you?
The pimp shoves her against a wall heavily. The replicant sees her distress and becomes enraged. He sends the other guy into a set of cupboards. The pimp then grabs him from behind and receives a swift elbow to the side before being kicked against a bedside lamp. When the other guy attacks, the replicant catches his leg and rushes him backward over a stair railing. Then a third assailant enters the fray. The replicant kicks him down the stairs into the other guy, then charges the pimp. The pimp tries to run away. He chases the pimp downstairs and sends him crashing against a mirror. Panic-stricken, the pimp stumbles back. The replicant sends him flying with a roundhouse kick.
I've had enough! I've had enough!
Stop it! Leave him alone! Please!
The replicant turns to the hooker and studies her with a sense of fascination. He reaches up to caress her hair, the handcuff still dangling from his wrist. She's frozen in shock, not sure of what to do.
Police, don't move! Get down! Freeze!
Don't shoot!
Get down now! Get down!
Get down!
Get down!
Hey, you men! Hey! Easy, boys! Easy, boys! Come on, man!
Okay? What's going on here, Jake?
It's okay. He's with me. I'll get him, Hunk. Okay, take it easy. Relax. Sit down.
Later, outside.
It's all right. You'll be okay. Go with him. Go!
The replicants put in a squad car. The hooker rushes out.
Hey, I brought you your coat. Look me up when you get out.
She winks at the replicant, and he's driven away with a bewildered look. Jake follows on behind. Day breaks. A wall of the torture's sick murder photos.
Come on, what is it you remember? Come on, help me out, buddy. Think. Think.
The replicant stares.
That's it.
Bad boy.
Bad boy? What do you mean, bad boy?
All of them.
You remember the mothers? The killing of the mothers? Come on, talk to me. What do you remember? Talk to me.
Remember.
Look at this picture. Do you know who this woman is?
Did you get the render?
No, there's no DMV or passport. She's got to be a tourist or something.
Ah, shit. She next.
Look at this picture.
She next.
She next.
A photo of fire damage comes to life, and the incident rewinds in the replicant's mind. A toy box is revealed, and a mother struggling while the torch strangles her. In another scene, a charred corpse on a bed becomes a conflagration. At the start of the fire is the torch. Shaken and disturbed by his cloned memories, the replicant's led out to a car by Jake, who then removes his cuffs.
Jake? Who am I?
Jake clenches his jaw and sighs heavily.
You are a genetic double.
Genetic double?
Yeah, I don't understand it either, buddy, but... The other half, he's a killer.
Dejected and glistening with sweat, the replicant goes to get into the back of the car.
No, no.
Jake leads him to the front passenger seat.
Hop in.
He gives Jake a curious look.
It's all yours.
The replicant climbs in.
Feel good?
Jake shuts the door and gets into the driver's side. Jake's waiting outside a public toilet. The replicant emerges trailing toilet roll. Jake takes it from him, drops it, and they leave. Parents play with their children in a recreation area. Some kids are on a set of swings, while several others play on a climbing frame. The replicant turns to watch them. Jake urges him onwards, and they get a treat.
Ice cream.
He leads the replicant back to the car. Once the replicant's sitting in the passenger seat, Jake takes a crumpled photo out to show him.
There you go. You gotta do me a favor here. Would you look at that?
A flashback to the picture on the torch's wall.
You know that girl? What are you thinking? Here. No. There. Drop here. That's good up there.
Jake's handed him a pen, and now the replicant's drawing a childlike building on the windscreen with it.
I don't know. House? Church? What? Got it.
He draws a circle beside it, and then hands like on a clock.
I got it.
Jake's car's speeding along a city street. He's kept the sketches on the windscreen. A tall skyscraper looms in front of them. A clock tower's reflected in its windows.
I know.
Now the pair of them are jogging into the Seattle Crown Hotel. At the revolving doors, the replicant waits for Jake, who's matching up the hotel doors with the same ones in the picture of the woman. They hurry inside.
Can you tell me if she's staying here?
Excuse me?
Is she a guest at the hotel?
Who are you, police officer? Oh, you have ID?
Look, it doesn't matter who I am. I think she's in danger.
I'm sorry, sir, but hotel regulations strictly forbid me to... Excuse me.
Jake follows the replicant over to the lifts.
Sir. You're not permitted upstairs unless accompanied by a hotel staff.
Okay, I understand that.
The replicant enters a lift.
Call in security. Get out. Get out.
Yep. Stay.
Jake yanks the concierge into the lift. The replicant impatiently presses a button and the lift rises floor by floor. They get out on the 14th floor and hurry past a waiter who's bemused by the alarm. The replicant leads them to a door.
Open the door. Come on. Get
in. The room's smoky.
Make your call.
We have a fire. 1404. I repeat, we have a fire. 1404.
In the bathroom, the replicant and Jake are confronted with blood-soaked flannels in the sinks, spatter marks on the tiles, and a body in the bath under waterlogged towels. The smoke detector's been covered with a cup. The replicant bolts out of the hotel room, and Jake follows him to an emergency exit where they call a service lift.
Here. Go.
Jake ushers him into one, and they head for the basement floor.
Is he close?
Close.
The lift doors open into the bowels of the hotel. Steam rises over a set of pipes. Jake proceeds with his gun drawn. They move slowly through the dimly lit basement, passing a shadowy corner. Jake then leads the way up a short flight of steps towards a door that's been left ajar. As he passes through it, the replicant shuts him in. The replicants dropped into a lower level through a floor hatch. Jake busts his way through a wire mesh with a wrench. The replicants walking tensely along a gloomy corridor leading towards a bright light at the far end.
You received my message.
The light's from a motorbike. The torch is sitting on it. When the replicant stops before him, the torch climbs off and comes to stand in front of his clone.
What are you?
Genetic double.
A clone. Unfucking believable. Fantastic. Beautiful. My exact replica. We are the same. Same? Yeah. My body is your body. My mind is your mind. My life is your life. But my brother, Jake, cannot be trusted. He's going to kill you. I'll protect you, my brother.
Brother.
God, son of a... Where are you? Hey! We are identical.
Get away!
We're identical.
Get away!
As the torch speeds away, the replicant puts Jake's aim off.
You let him get away!
We are the same.
I should have shot you both! God damn you, he's screwing with your mind! Will Jake kill me?
Jake's rage passes, and he takes his arm from the replicant's throat, then heads back along the tunnel. The replicant glances in the torch's direction, then follows Jake.
Jake? Will Jake kill me? We are the same.
Hey, Jake, are you on the case?
No.
Are you back on the force?
I'm retired.
Can you tell us anything better than that?
Look, this is an individual who refuses to take responsibility. As far as I know, not taking responsibility, he's a fucking nutcake, that's all. Jake.
While the replicant's drawn to the window, Jake answers his phone.
Yeah, I've been waiting for your call.
I know. How's your whiskey?
Jake turns off the lights.
It's fine.
How's my replica?
He's good.
Put us on the speakerphone.
Why would I want to do that?
We can talk, like family. I want both of you to hear me.
Go ahead and talk.
I want him to know how much I love him. What it means to me to have him in this world.
How nice. Psycho love.
So do you want to know who's my next victim? Ask my brother.
Jake.
So what are you waiting for?
In time, Jake.
In time.
Jake glares at the replicant, then grabs him.
Give me a reason. I'll blow your fucking head off.
Jake leads him over to a pole fixed to the floor.
Give me your hand. Give me your hand.
He cuffs him to it. He then heads back into the next room with his gun at the ready. Now in a hospital.
Oh, hello, Mr. Cesar.
Hi, Carol. How's Mama today?
Oh, well, she's had better days. Maybe you can cheer her up.
Got a surprise for her.
Oh, good.
The nurse smiles, and the torch heads into a hospital room. He shows a frail, grey-haired woman a picture.
Begging, screaming.
A flashback to a mother angry at her child.
But you know what? I did it for you.
You bad.
The boy is put in a cupboard. The youngster beats at the door to be let out.
No more. You bitch.
His frail old mother's wide-eyed with fear.
No more.
He gets up and reaches for a polished wooden box on the shelf. There's an ornamental clown perched on top of it. A flashback to a music box hitting the floor. In the hospital room, the torch opens the box, but then remembers a fire erupting in a kitchen.
You should never have been born, Lucifer!
He was the boy shut in the kitchen cupboard. The disturbing dream occurs to the replicant as well. Jake comes through to check on him.
Luc Savard.
Jake, I got it. Luc Savard. Talk about a bad boy. Shoplifting at 11. Grand theft auto, narcotics, arson. Now, he listed in the corps in 88. Reportedly killed behind enemy lines in June of 91. But the body was never recovered. Oh, and I tracked down his mother. Gwendolyn Savard. She was committed to the Nepenthe home 6 years ago after a stroke. And Jake? One other thing. This woman killed her husband. She locked the kid up in a closet and then set the house on fire. Luc Savard only lived because it rained that night.
Jake's car pulls into the hospital car park. He and the replicant approach the nurse's station.
Mr. Savard? We tried to call you last night.
He was here last night?
Of course. I'm sorry. My mother? She had a sudden cardiac arrest. We did everything we could. She was just too frail. The things.
The replicant reaches into a box of her things and takes out the clown music box.
Excuse me. May we see the bun?
Oh, yes, of course.
A white sheet is pulled back, revealing the torch's grey-haired old mother. As Jake studies her face, the replicant shuffles over. Jake steps aside and lets him look at the body. The replicant reaches out and gently strokes her hair. A tear rolls down his cheek. The torch bursts into the morgue and holds his gun to a nurse.
Take it easy, Jake. Want her to die? Do you? Your gun. Drop it. Huh? Drop your gun.
He throws it into a tray.
Good. You're not so smart. You never saw me coming.
He knocks the nurse out and hurls her aside.
This is it, Jake. You're going to die.
The torch kicks a trolley into Jake, gun butts his head, then punches and knees him in the stomach. The replicant watches as the torch hurls Jake onto a morgue table.
So what's the matter, Jake, huh?
Punching his chest.
No smart comeback.
The replicant has tears in his eyes as the assault continues and Jake's kicked to the floor.
No reporters to joke with.
He's kicked in the ribs. The torch swaggers towards the replicant.
He's not your family. Doesn't care about you. But I do. That's why I want you with me. I have an idea. You're gonna kill him. Do it. Finish him. Yeah.
The replicant has taken a knife from the torch. He lets it fall from his hand.
No.
The torch strides forward a couple of paces, then turns and points a gun at his clone.
That's why you're gonna die with him. And they'll think, you or me. You're a bad boy, Luxavar.
The torch looks over at his dead mother's body.
What did you say? You're a bad boy, Luxavar. You killed Mama. Yes, that's right. And so what? It felt good! You bitch!
As the torch shoots his mother's body, Jake rams him with a trolley. The torch and the replicant wrestle for the gun. The torch picks up a scalpel and stabs the replicant in the shoulder. Jake hits the torch with a flying kick and tries to grab the gun himself. He manages to knock the gun away, then smashes the torch's head against the wall. The torch pulls the fire alarm, then elbows Jake in the face. With Jake knocked to the floor, the torch escapes. Jake gets to his feet and checks on the replicant.
David, don't move. I'll be back.
The torch is striding along a corridor.
There he is.
Two policemen spot him. He hurls an orderly against the wall, then pushes a patient in a wheelchair into one of the officers. He hits the other with a series of kicks, then strikes him with an IV drip stand, smashing him through a window. He tosses one of the hospital staff over a counter, then kicks another in the stomach. He races away, and Jake chases after him.
Where is he?
He's down there!
Meanwhile, the replicant is crawling forward. He yanks the scalpel out of his shoulder. He drops it on the floor, then reaches into the blood-filled tray and retrieves the gun. The torch runs out of the hospital and carjacks an ambulance. He reverses, hitting a patient in a wheelchair and bumping over a curb. He smashes into a car, sending a trolley flying out of the rear doors and over the roof of the car. Jake rushes out of the hospital and the torch hits the gas, speeding past him. As the ambulance winds its way through the car park, Jake chases after it. He manages to jump up onto a step at the side and open the passenger side door. The torch begins driving more and more erratically, trying to throw Jake from the side of the ambulance. He turns towards a row of parked cars, and Jake has to lift his legs to avoid getting hit. He hangs on for dear life as the ambulance smashes car after car. Jake manages to heave himself in, but the torch kicks him back out again. He just manages to hang onto the door. As they career towards a pillar, Jake hauls himself back in. The ambulance skids round and smashes sideways into a wall. Jake grabs the torch's seatbelt and tries to strangle him with it. The torch puts his foot down and the ambulance speeds through the car park, leaving a trail of destruction behind it. They hit a speed bump and the vehicle lifts off the ground, smashing into a ceiling light. With the torch now held fast by the seatbelt around his neck, Jake jumps out of the ambulance as it speeds around a corner. The torch can't regain control and hits a curb, sending the ambulance into a roll. It teeters for a moment before slamming down onto a stairwell upside down. Jake hobbles towards the overturned ambulance. He peers through the smoke and dust and into the rear doors, but there's no sign of the torch. He climbs over the vehicle and then checks underneath it. He edges between the side of the ambulance and the handrail to peer in through the passenger side door. Jake climbs down the stairs and goes through an open fire door at the bottom. Limping from his injuries, he edges through a storeroom. He heads through a set of double doors and finds a large incinerator in the center of the room. Suddenly, he turns round and is hit in the face by a spade that smashes a window in the door. He fades in and out of consciousness as the torch strides towards him and tosses him against the wall. Jake crumples in a heap and the torch stares down at him. Now he's being dragged across the floor. The door to the incinerator opens and the torch tries to push Jake through the hatch.
Hey, no bad for mama's boy, huh? Should I call the news now? Or later?
As Jake's feet are licked by the flames, the replicant comes bursting in through the double doors, holding the gun. As the replicant pulls Jake away from the fire, the torch kicks him in the face.
If you kill me, you kill yourself.
Jake's lying semi-conscious on the floor.
For safety, Luxavar.
The torch kicks the replicant's gun away, then punches him in the chest. The replicant jumps up onto some movable steps, but the torch wheels them across the room and into a pillar. The replicant hits a heater hanging from the ceiling and falls to the floor. The heater falls too, missing him by inches.
What makes you think you can take me, huh?
The replicant manages to flip the torch onto the floor, then struggles to his feet. Both men are now standing. They begin to fight, but their moves are near identical. They exchange punches, but their fists clash.
I can read your mind.
They both try spinning kicks, but their legs cross. The replicant manages to land a punch, then knees the torch in the groin before kicking him into metal compartment doors. He hits him with two more thunderous punches to the head. Then kicks him in the stomach. He kicks him again and the torch rolls across the floor. Jake's regained consciousness and picks up the gun. The replicant presses his foot against his clone's throat. He stares down at him as the torch loses consciousness. He releases his hold and looks over at Jake. He takes a couple of steps towards Jake, but then sees the spade on the floor. He remembers the torch hitting Jake with it. Suddenly, the torch gets up and hits the replicant with the spade. He smashes him across the back of the head, but Jake shoots the torch with a volley of bullets. The torch falls against the wall and slumps to the floor. Jake struggles to his knees and goes to the replicant's aid. Heater sparks and sets light to a storage tank of flammable gas. Jake puts the replicant's arm around his shoulder and gets him to his feet. They stagger to a fire door and the replicant pushes Jake out to safety, but then goes back in and closes the door. He bolts the door shut and stumbles towards the flames. A huge explosion blows the door and Jake back. Later, the area is surrounded by police. Stan approaches a sad and emotional-looking Jake.
Well, the only ones who made it were the corpses in the fridge drawers. I expect a full report.
Jake shoves his gun into Stan's hand and walks away. Some days later, he's playing video games with Danny.
I'm over.
Now you may be in first, but I'm better than you.
No.
No, no, I'm in first. Who's the best?
Me.
Oh, no! Ah! Oh.
Jake looks out of the window and sees a figure walk along the pavement and place a letter in the mailbox. He's staring down at the hooded figure when Danny jumps on him.
Oh! Whoa! Hey. See the delivery man?
No.
Let's go. Let's go get it.
Protecting them both from the rain with an umbrella, Jake goes out to the mailbox with Danny. He opens it and finds the clown musical box inside. Danny stares at the music box whilst Jake looks up and down the street.
He likes rain.
The replicant walks towards the hooker. She looks at him with a beaming smile.
Hi.
Hi.
I knew you'd come back. Let's get out of here. Let's go.
They stroll off across the street together. She puts an umbrella up and her arm around him. Name.